How smart are you? Are you roof smart? We're here with Greg today. He's going to tell you how smart people are to get a new roof. Can't wait to see you in there.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
Welcome to Dayton Approved, where we're exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits in the area. Today we've got a guest that is a Dayton local native named Greg Smart. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Appreciate you having me.
Hey, we're glad you're here. Greg's company is Roof Smart, or Roof Smart Pro. What is the proper way of saying that?
It's whatever you prefer. Quick story there. Roof Smart is the actual name that we intended people to use. Roof Smart Pro was something that had to be created because of a future market that we intended to go into in Florida, where there's already a Roof Smart there. We had to do something to differentiate ourselves there.
So. It makes complete sense to me. Well, that's cool. It's good to know about the name. So Roof Smart is known here in Dayton. Roof Smart Pro in the future, I guess.
That's right. Yeah.
So some of the things that you have as far as, I guess you could say, your overall mission with Roof Smart is you said that you wanted to do more of a, I guess, educational approach for the customer. Why don't you tell us a little bit more what you mean by that?
I think what I mean by that is I think this industry has a history of just sort of, taking Uncle Buck in a truck's word for whatever needs to be done on the roof. I think a lot of people just sort of take, what the contractor tells them without getting a whole lot of background into, why they're saying they need that particular repair, or maybe they take the insurance company's word for, what they want to do without actually putting a whole lot of extra thought into it. And I think if people are educated correctly, I think they find out that, they're usually owed a lot more than what the insurance company is willing to give them. They may find out that, hey, maybe I really don't need a whole new roof. Maybe I can do a repair and squeak another, 6 to 8 years out of this thing without having to break the bank now.
Or vice versa, where, maybe it's a repair that warrants a whole new roof.
Absolutely.
And you're able to really look at it and see, these people need it. The insurance company is not necessarily on board with it. Let's figure out how we can get this to come together.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about doing what's best for the homeowner. And, I think educating them on what the roof's current condition is, what they should expect over the next, handful of years. Life expectancy is kind of a huge thing for people. I think they, it kind of gets forgotten about. I think you get some of these greedy roofers that come out and they would just prefer to push a whole new roof. And I think that our thought process is just to always keep the homeowner first and to make sure that, doing everything we're doing is in their best interest.
So. Yeah. And I really like the educational approach of for my business, what I teach my sales guys is go from an educational point of view, because a lot of people, they're kind of on guard. Mm-hmm. They're worried that you're trying to sell them something. And thinking, as a salesperson, selling them something they don't need, right? So then they're always like, I don't know, I'm just looking, just shopping, just trying to figure it out, I'm not sure. But if you can show them, here's how things work here. Like, this is our price tags. This is how the price tag reads. Just, do some basic education and then let the customer do their shopping.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they can make a...
That's fair.
Yeah, I think as long as you're giving people the correct information to allow them to at least make an educated decision, I think that's a good step, first step.
Absolutely. And that's always, in my opinion, a very good approach. It's a genuine approach, and it helps bring the wall down with you and the customer.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us your story. How'd you get into all this? I mean, you've done, a couple different businesses in your life, so this isn't your first rodeo. But tell us about how you got into roofing and... maybe a little bit about, what business you were doing before.
So, I got into roofing back in 2007. It was was actually in between jobs at the time, and had no intention on getting into the roofing industry. And my dad told me.
Those are always the best stories.
That's right, right? my dad had a friend that he knew was in the industry and was hiring, and You know, he brought it to my attention and said, you know, do you think this is something that you might be interested in? And, you know, at the time, I didn't necessarily think that I had a lot of sales experience to really bring to the table. And it actually took my dad, I think, pointing out to me. He says, hey, you know, you used to own a landscaping company. You had to do door-to-door sales there. You used to own a tree removal company. Same thing. So there was a lot of different things that I had done in the past that had kind of opened that door for me. I didn't realize it. Actually, believe it or not, I used to sell frozen steaks door to door.
Yes, the old Omaha. Was it Omaha? Or
it wasn't Omaha. It's kind of a knockoff of Omaha. It's nonetheless an extremely difficult job.
No, I have been a person to have bought those steaks before. They're not bad steaks.
They're not bad steaks. They really aren't. No, it's but you know what? Trying to convince somebody to buy a frozen piece of meat that's been riding around in the back of your truck all day, you know.
Yeah, that's a sale.
Be a difficult thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. And then they're not originally in the market for frozen meat, so you're bringing it in. You know, you're doing
that's
it
right.
So it's a good way to learn sales.
You know what? I always tell people that was a little bit like door-to-door boot camp.
Yeah.
If you can learn how to sell somebody frozen chicken and steak door to door, you could pretty much sell anything.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's awesome. That's a cool little background story though that you have.
You know, I actually never thought that that I would even get into owning my own roofing company. It just kind of one of those things that came up, and you know, I thought, well, you know what? I think I can do this better.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you thought that you could do better? I mean, you saw practices that other people were doing that necessarily weren't good or ethical, like what you know, I guess explain what you mean by doing better.
You know, I had an opportunity. Well, obviously I was in it for quite some time before because we really didn't open up Roof Smart until 2017.
Okay.
And I got in this in 07, so I had about a decade there to kind of work for a couple of different companies and kind of see how they operated. And you know, I did it all over the country, really, Ohio, New Mexico, Texas, Florida, most recently after these last couple of hurricanes, and watching some of these other companies operate and the way that they interacted with their homeowners, and it just felt like there was something missing there.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of greed. I feel like you know, if you're in it long enough and you meet enough people, you'll see some people do some unsavory practices. You know, I've witnessed insurance fraud, you know, a lot of different things that make you raise your eyebrow and go,
yeah,
really? Like that's how you do that.
Okay. Right.
So, you know, after seeing something like that and it, you know, a lot of those things don't necessarily jive with your own morals, your own, thought process. So,
right.
You know, when looking at how they were handling things, I just felt like I could provide a better customer experience for our people. So
yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't know exactly what the timeline is. I could be completely off, but I do know that you also have, you know, recently been married not too long now. When was that timeline, around the same time, like you doing that when you started your business, or was that before or after?
You know, it's pretty close. You know, I've
like I wife, just from my perception, I feel like it kind of all happened at once. Like, you know, you had a lot going on.
You know, it kind of did. It's you know, I think sometimes you can't necessarily pick when things happen.
Right.
You know, you just kind of take you recognize the opportunity and just do your best to seize it. And you know, my wife is a wonderful person. She's put up with a lot. You know, we've had to make some extreme sacrifices to get where we're at.
Of course. That's how it works for a business.
It is. And, you know, one of those sacrifices was her allowing me to go out west and sell roofs out there and then take off to Florida and travel back and forth. I was flying back and forth from Ohio to Florida every single weekend.
Wow.
For 3 years straight.
Wow.
And, you know, that can certainly take its toll on a marriage, on any relationship, really.
Yeah, for sure.
And because you're essentially, at that point, you're in a long-distance relationship, and you're trying to raise kids together on top of it,
yeah.
Right? So that creates its own challenges. And, you know, it was actually her that gave me the the encouragement to potentially consider starting my own roofing company, which I had swore that I would never do. Yeah, because anybody that's listening, when you're in this long enough, I have plenty of friends that are in this business that own their own roofing companies, enough to where I thought maybe the market's a little bit saturated.
Right.
I don't know that I'll jump into that, but I think we had hit some type of a wall in Florida where, I just thought, I need to create a situation for myself and for my family that doesn't involve me traveling all over the country. Right.
Right.
I can certainly help a whole lot more being at home than I can anywhere else. So it was important to me to create something that allowed me to spend that time with my family and then also give me that sense of accomplishment.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you chose Dayton as your main base for, your company here, RoofSmart. So tell us a little bit more about how you use local resources and how you help the local economy with, different programs you might be sponsoring and stuff like that.
Sure. Our office is located in what they call Uptown Centerville now. It used to be downtown. I'm not sure what the difference is there, but
complete 180.
It is, yeah. So I think it sounds better. It's we're located in Uptown downtown Centerville, and me and my wife own this together with a business partner, Justin Phillips, who he currently lives down in the Cape Coral area. But me and Justin both played ice hockey together, both graduated from Centerville High School. It was very important to us to be able to give back and be able to continue to service the same community that we grew up in.
Yeah, back to Centerville. That's really cool.
So one of the first things that we did was we tried to seek out some different organizations like Heart of Centerville and try to become as intertwined with the local community as we could. So obviously the first places that we look to when we're trying to get shirts made is we're looking at local embroideries, trying to see if we can give the business to them. If I need business cards made, I'm taking it, down the street there to Minuteman Press, another local business that's part of the Heart of Centerville. So anytime the opportunity presents itself to where we can support another local business in our area, we're certainly jumping on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you were saying something here. I can't even read my handwriting. That's how terrible I am. But basically you were saying you go where you're needed, essentially, is what I wrote down. And basically, you're not, storm chasing, with lack of a better word.
No, that's a good point. Although I do have some storm chasing background, obviously, we're going to the...
Yeah, when you're doing your sales and whatnot.
Sure, yeah. But, as far as Ohio goes, we go where we're needed. We go wherever the people call us from, that's where we're going. We recently had some tornadoes. This is a good example. I'm sure everybody's aware of, there's a story going around. I think Ohio's number one in the country right now for a number of tornadoes this year. And, the closest one that's happened is probably up in that Indian Lake area.
Yeah.
And we're actually just now getting ready to go run our first couple of appointments up in that area, just simply because some of those folks have actually called in, and now we're going to go out there and service that market. So it's certainly not our first instinct to run hours away from the office to go try to seek out business that way. I feel like we've got enough loyal customers and in our immediate area that we can spend the time servicing them.
Yeah, I mean, just because we didn't have tornadoes doesn't mean we didn't have other sorts of damage in here in the Dayton area.
Exactly. A lot of people don't realize this particular part of Ohio is known for straight line winds. We get severe straight line winds usually at least once a year. We'll get winds that will exceed 75 miles an hour.
Wow.
It's
going to cause damage.
It's definitely going to cause damage. That's right.
Now, some of the things that make you different, compared to other roofing companies that are, in the Dayton area. I know you were saying that, attention to detail is really important on what's going on. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? You said attention to detail and, also finding the right fit for the customer.
Sure. I think attention to detail in the respect that, it's important for us to not be greedy. You know, I think we're trying to always do what's best for our customers, and I think that kind of starts with using name brand quality products on every install, making sure that we're not cutting some of these corners that maybe other counterparts might be doing. You know, warranty wise, you know, we're trying to provide better warranties right out of the box, you know, out of the gate than some of these other companies.
Yeah, you're saying that they give you these opportunities to, they say, okay, our product has an extended warranty or whatnot. You can use it as an opportunity to upsell.
Right.
But you guys don't do that.
No, it's there's probably still some room there to, if you wanted to just go extreme with your warranty purchases, but the manufacturer has these extended warranties that their intention is for you to upsell to your clients.
Yeah.
And it's just been our philosophy that we should just go ahead and offer that standard.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the bigger things that sets us apart. We don't, we're not going to offer you or, you know, try to get you to purchase that extended warranty. It makes a lot of sense for us just to do that anyway. You know, we offer a 5-year basic or standard labor warranty with an option to extend that to a 10-year warranty. And the only way that we can do that comfortably is to know that we've installed the best products possible and we've given you the highest quality workmanship possible.
Right, of course. I mean, you're not going to put a 10-year warranty on a product and then basically sell them crap.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's not, obviously it's not good for them, but it certainly doesn't work out for us if I've got to be back there, you know, fixing things, and it's certainly not going to bode very well for our reputation in town.
No, so. Exactly. So the last thing you want to do is have to put a roof on and then come back three years later and do it again.
You don't get very much referral work.
No,
there. Yeah.
No. You don't make a lot of money doing that either.
You don't. No, I always tell homeowners that, you know, if you and I become best friends after this, there's probably something wrong. We probably shouldn't be communicating that much, you know, no offense, but you know, I'd like to be able to put your roof on, and the only time that I talk to you after that is when you call me to give me another referral because we did such an amazing job.
Yeah,
you
know, that's perfect. That's exactly how it should be. No, that's awesome. So some recent, I guess you could say, success is brand new building, uptown, downtown,
Absolutely.
Centerville.
Yeah, super excited.
So tell us about that. What was the operation before this building? Like what was going on, and how awesome is this new building?
So, first of all, the building is extremely awesome. We're very excited to be there, there in Uptown Centerville, right across from Benham's Grove, next to the Centerville Drive-Thru. This operation has looked like it was ran right out of my house for the first 5 years,
or
first almost 6 years. We started this not too long before COVID became an issue, and I think we had gotten to a point where we were kind of considering an office at one point, and then COVID happened, and we just kind of made the decision that we're just go ahead and continue to operate out of my house as long as possible. And of course, you know, I've got employees coming in and out all the time, like I got a revolving door. I got my kids running around going, when is Roof Smart guy's not going to be here, you get to a certain point where I feel like your family feels a little bit invaded, they don't have their own space. So I tried to push that as long as I possibly could and until we were ready, and I think this year came around and an opportunity presented itself here with the building that we're in now, and we went ahead and grabbed it.
So. Yeah, well, that's awesome. Now, you just had, I think it was like a grand opening, what, a week, 2 weeks ago?
We did. It was just last week.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, last week. Yeah.
Congratulations on that. That's cool.
Yeah, did the ribbon cutting ceremony and everything. Got the big giant scissors.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, also, you said, I don't know if this was recent, but also a member of the National Roofing Association.
Yeah, the NRCA. It's the National Roofing Contractors Association. It's that's who holds the standard basically for our industry. It's they do a lot of good things for our industry. They do a lot of legislative stuff in DC that helps benefit helps benefit all of our industry, and I don't know how many people in our area are actually even members of that, but I do know that it's there's a fair amount of training and different vetting that you have to go through to even be a part of.
It's not just something you can sign up for and get.
It's not, no, no. Yeah. So, no, we're proud to be members of the NRCA, and we're proud to bring what that means to our customers.
Yeah, just like being part of the exclusive group of Dayton Approved.
That's right, that's right.
Not everyone can be a part of it.
They can't, no, that's why we jumped on the opportunity.
That's right. Now, you also said that you got a new job that's kind of expanding you out of your comfort zone, downtown Dayton, I believe, Skyrise.
In Cincinnati, actually.
Oh, yes. Cincinnati.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
So, yeah, no, we've recently developed some contacts with a couple of different large property management companies, which is it's the direction that we kind of see our company heading. We've traditionally have done, maybe 80 to 90% residential. We've always done some commercial, but never on that type of scale. So, I myself and my partner Justin do have some experience doing some of that larger commercial work,
yeah.
But unfortunately for other companies up until now. So we're pretty excited to be able to look at our first high rise for RoofSmart and be able to continue to develop those relationships that'll continue to have us looking at things like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That sounds exciting. I mean, I wouldn't even imagine taking on a project like that. I mean, it just sounds, massive.
It's a whole nother animal. You've got a lot of different things that you have to consider when you're getting into that side of things, and I think it's pretty easy for I like to call them Uncle Buck in a truck.
Right.
You compete with Uncle Buck all the time when you're out doing residential things, but when you get into that scale of work, you're not necessarily dealing with those types anymore. You're dealing with the larger companies in town, and it just kind of forces you to elevate your game.
Of course, yeah. It just makes you learn more, do more, and ultimately be better.
Absolutely. And that's the goal.
Now, some of the challenges that you've had, you said, I think it's kind of a trend right now, just finding quality help.
Yeah.
I mean, tell us about that. Like, what does that look like? I mean, I can only imagine.
Well, it's certainly difficult. It presents some challenges in a lot of different ways. I think the right people are out there. The roofing industry itself is a bit saturated in our area, and sometimes it can present some challenges trying to find the right people to come over. And we're fishing from a pretty small pond when
right.
we're trying to find somebody that checks all the boxes for us. And when you're trying to talk about the right combination of personality, cleanliness,
yeah.
Not having a fear of heights, having all these different tools and abilities to be able to go out and do the job correctly, has proven to be pretty difficult.
Yeah.
My background is actually in hiring and training. For a lot of these other companies that I've done work in other areas, I don't ever remember having such a challenge trying to find some people then, but for whatever reason now, it's maybe I'm a little bit more picky or particular when it's my own company, but yeah, that's been such a challenge.
Now, the other challenge you said is just, unfortunately, people just don't really have the proper money set aside for a new roof, is what you're saying. It's one of those things where you really should be tucking away X amount of money, even if it's $25 a month, for that rainy day fund.
Absolutely. And it's astounding that the amount of people that are not able to do that. I actually read a report a couple weeks ago that said that the average homeowner has less than $1,000
yes.
in their bank account, and that's alarming.
Yeah,
the average roof that we're seeing right now that we're replacing is somewhere in the maybe $13,000 to $15,000 range. So when you start talking about somebody coming up with that type of cash to replace a roof on their own, that's an extremely tall task for them to try to accomplish. And it usually leaves them either having to borrow money from family, or they're having to go out and take out yet another loan. Hmm. And in a lot of cases, they're already strapped, financially.
They're already at that end of the tunnel.
Exactly, yeah. So financing may not even be an option for those folks. So so because of that, we try to stay as open-minded as possible. We try to be
Absolutely.
As creative as possible when it comes to generating ideas for more economical repairs for folks, and in these cases where people do need a new roof, we're certainly using our heads as much as possible to try to figure out a way that we may potentially be able to get it done through their insurance company.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people pay for that insurance their entire lives. They go their whole lives without ever having to use it.
Right.
And it's by design, actually. I think these insurance companies do a really good job at doing scare tactics. They scare people into.
It's interesting because I know a lot of folks that have owned they got their house paid for finally, and they first thing they do is get rid of the insurance because you can't do it if you have a loan. You can't.
That's
right. It's like a car loan.
Yeah.
So. And they've gone 10, 15 years, no problem.
Yeah, they're ready.
But they tuck away the money.
That's right.
And it's like, okay, now if I sell my house, I've got this nice pile of cash that didn't go to the insurance company.
Right. And if you're able to do that, that's certainly a great way to do it. It's, you know what, they scare you on two different ends. You know, they get you to buy the insurance to begin with under the idea that all these major things could happen. You could have an earthquake, you could
right.
have a hurricane, a tornado, you know, something could come through and cause all this mass devastation for you, and then where will you be then, right?
Yeah.
But then on the flip side of that coin, they tell
something
you-
Something happens.
Yeah, they're like, well, you may not want to file that claim because, you know, you may end up getting your rates raised.
Yeah.
Or maybe they may end up dropping you, so you may have to reconsider filing that claim.
Right, so they just scare you into like getting it, then
yeah.
they scare you into not using it,
that's
and
right.
then it's like, what's going on?
And that kind of just
and then they put all these rules into play.
They do. They make things.
Well,
this
guy got this
difficult.
Approved, so we're gonna have to say next time everything's included except for this. And
that's
there's
right.
like a whole list of crazy things that.
And they make it, and it's all by design. They do it
yeah.
that way just so the average person can't decipher what it is that they're even reading and. You should see how often homeowners are surprised by what's in their policy when we finally get into the meat of
yeah.
things, right? It's, you know, most people aren't even aware of what their deductible is.
Right.
They're not aware of what a deductible even is.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be surprised how many people actually say.
Well, that's financial education there.
It is, right. And yeah. somebody's not doing their job to educate some of these folks because, you know, I get these people that'll say, well, I already paid my deductible.
Yeah.
My roof. You said my roof costs $10,000. The insurance company says it costs $10,000. They gave me a check for $8,000 or $9,000. Usually your deductible is about like $1,000. Usually.
Yeah.
But they gave me a check for $9,000. I paid my deductible. I paid it to the insurance company. And you have to go through and explain to them why that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know. So I. You know, we've had some success relating it to other things that they might be more familiar with, like a
right.
like a copay. And
yeah.
rather than call it a deductible, I'll call it a copay, just
yeah.
so they can associate it with a prescription or something like that. So,
but no, these failed claims are, you know, pretty serious. But I know you were saying before, you know, get three quotes. And you're saying, you know, there might be something going on if the three quotes are completely out of whack.
Yeah, it's well. That was kind of an extension of what we had talked about just before that, which was you know, some of these insurance companies expecting us to do the project for exactly what the dollar amount is that they want to allow for, right?
Right.
And you know, if you go out and you get three different quotes, you're going to get three different prices.
Of course.
It's you know, we're never all going to be the exact same. We have different overhead. We have different pricing structures from our suppliers, from our laborers. So it's not a realistic ask,
yeah.
you know, to have us all be a one out of the box type of contractor that'll all do it for the exact same price. So it doesn't make any sense.
Right. I actually had some experience in my old building. Guy got three quotes and one was like, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I remember it was, you'll get the gist of the story. Like one was like 20 grand,
mm-hmm.
one was like 18 grand. And then the last one was like 12. And I'm like, okay, well, being myself, I go, I get three because I'm going with the middle guy.
Sure.
I don't want to be too high. I don't want to be too low.
That's right.
Well, the owner being the owner goes, I'm going with the lowest guy. And I said, don't you think there's something really, really wrong when you're talking about an $8,000 difference from 20 to 12?
Right.
And what's really alarming to me is like, okay, the number is one thing, but it's percentage. I mean, that's almost 50% less Now that doesn't make sense.
No, that's huge. That's
so. Of course, he goes with the lowest price guy. Guy uses it's a metal roof.
Okay.
Uses barn siding, not roof material.
Oh my goodness.
That's where he gets the cost down, and the spacing's not right because it's thinner or not as wide.
Wow.
So what happens? This roof that I got replaced, I was 30 years old, worked better than the new one because the new one wasn't even a real roof.
Wow.
So I tell this guy, look, we got problems. It's not good. It's real bad. I got, you know, product in there. I mean, I hate saying what I do, but furniture, and it can't have wet furniture. It's not going to work, okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I've got, like, lawnmower equipment in there that who gives a shit if, it get, if there's a roof leak.
Sure.
So he goes, well, what do you think I should do? I go, you need to figure out if the guy put it on right. Oh, well, you know, he's been doing it for years. I said, all right, well, I'm going to get some quotes. I get three people to come look at it. All three said the same thing. He used barn siding. Mm-hmm. And so where he saved the money was on the material.
Yeah.
It was 100% is what he did. He's like, this isn't going to last you. There's nothing you can do. He's like, all three were thinking, okay, well, maybe we could hot mop it. Maybe we could, like, you know, do something that we could put over it. He goes, you can't. This, it's just not right.
Yeah.
You know, this is literally a round peg, square hole situation.
Sure.
So I tell the guys, like, I got three guys, says the wrong look at it all. All three said the same thing. I don't believe in coincidences like that.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get it replaced. You're going to have to sue this guy. You're going to have to do something. I don't know. This is wrong. So you're telling me the guy that's been doing this for 20 years, you know more than he does? And I said, 20 years? I said, and just because you've been doing something for 20 years, first off, doesn't mean you've been doing it right.
That's right.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Ripping people off for 20 years.
And I'm a 20-year-old at this time, and this guy's like 80, and he's just like astonished by, like, taken back from me talking to him this way.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're costing me money, bro. This is not cool. I'm losing product. Like, you don't understand. Finally, moral of the story, ends up having to take the guy, takes 3 years, sues him, wins some small claims, does a settlement, gets like a third of his price.
Sure.
You know, never got what he got back on it.
Yeah, bled from a turnip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he ended up finding another person to put the roof on, and that ended up working. But I don't know what he had to do or pay for the new one, but it ended up costing him more money in the long run.
You know, and he didn't want to believe it to begin with when you first told him, because, you know, there's a pride issue there. They don't want to believe that they've hired the wrong person.
Right, right. But he broke the basic principle rule. Get three quotes and go with the middle. You never go with the lowest. You can go with the highest, but you never go with the lowest.
Yeah, rarely will you get the value out of the highest bid. You know, I'm proud to say that we're right in the middle. If we go out and get in a bidding situation, I'll never claim to be the cheapest company in town. And nor do I want to be.
No.
You know, but, you know, I'm also not the most expensive either. So, I've got plenty of high-priced options for you. But, you know, when we're talking about apples to apples, you know, you're generally just talking about your average roofing material. And, you know, being somewhere right in the middle is a great place to be. It's, you know, that to me says they're using reasonable products. You know, they must have a reasonable labor force.
Absolutely.
You know, it makes me, you know, if I'm getting bids, it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. I don't feel like I'm getting ripped off by that most expensive guy.
Of course.
You know, and I'm certainly not getting Uncle Buck in a truck to go out there and put barn siding on my roof.
Right, literally is what happened. Barn siding. I couldn't believe it. It's absolutely maddening. And I'm just glad that part or that chapter of my life is over.
Well, you know, and that's what we're out here dealing with. You know, we're just trying to create a better experience for people.
Yeah, absolutely. That leads us right into what the next question is, you know, working with other roofers. You said you've got a whole slew of other roofers you work with, or roofing companies that you work with in collaboration. So tell us a little bit how that works, like what you guys do for each other, and how you guys make sure everyone's getting a fair price and whatnot.
Well, I think, you know, we've being in the industry long enough, you know, you obviously develop a lot of relationships and people, and you know, me and Justin both know multiple people that own their own companies, and, you know, at one time or another, we've collaborate with these guys, and we talk about pricing and where they're at and where we're at and where we think the industry should be for our area, and you know, and how detrimental, you know, some of these, you know, I don't know if you want to call it Uncle Buck. I keep saying Uncle Buck in a truck. Some people call it Chuck in a truck.
Right.
You know, but it's, you know, some of these people, they're bad for our industry. You know, they're out here cutting prices, and you know, and it forces quality companies to have to attempt to drive their prices down. And you know, while that might at first sound good for the consumer,
right,
it doesn't necessarily always translate that way. It's you know, good companies need reasonable profit margins to stay in business, to continue to service the warranties that they offer with their product. You know, by forcing legitimate companies that have extreme overhead to try to come down to compete with some of those cutthroat type prices, it's just not realistic. And you know, we've tried to come together and at least come up with a standard, a ballpark that we would like to stay within. And,
yeah.
And then that way, when we're out competing against each other, at least, you know, we can at least win a job based off of merit or off of,
yeah,
you know, personality. Or,
yeah, you're not, no one, not, there aren't a bunch of people going out there undercutting people left and right.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that helps our industry as a whole, or at least in our local area. And And I think that it helps us continue to have the margins that we need to stay in business, and it helps us to be able to continue to put on a quality name brand product on all of our customers' roofs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. I mean, people want a nice working roof. That's all I wanted in
that's
my
right.
situation. I just wanted a roof that works.
Right.
And
you know, it's, boy, you know, roofing is a reactionary thing. It's very rare that people are proactive when it comes to their roofs. I usually don't get phone calls from people until they're holding the bucket,
right,
catching
right.
a leak. So, yeah, it's one of those things that even a bad quality roof may not let itself be known that it's that type of quality until a couple years down the line, until
right.
their insulation can no longer absorb any more water
yeah.
in their attic, you know. So
now, with you saying that, it's interesting because I remember we were talking earlier before the show, you were saying there's also a certain amount of responsibility for the customer or the homeowner to make sure their roof doesn't cause damage. You were saying, like, if they know there's a leak and they just let it go and that leak causes damage on their home, they'll fix the roof, but they'll say, sorry, you
yeah.
should have got a hold of us.
Yeah, in an insurance situation, it's this was kind of a segue off of us talking about these insurance companies using these scare tactics.
Right.
To
I forgot to mention it then, but I'm bringing it back.
It's gonna work. Yeah. No, they use these scare tactics to try to scare you into not filing a claim, and you know, but one of the things that they'll fail to mention though is that, you know, it's actually written in most people's policy that they're obligated to take some type of mitigating action to prevent further damage, right? So
right.
if they've got damage to their roof that they're unaware of, and a leak happens to develop, you know, and you know, if the insurance company deems that they waited too long to notify them about that, they could very well come out and deny the entire interior portion of that claim, saying that it was a lack of
due diligence.
Yeah, due diligence on your part, or responsibility, however you want to phrase it. But it's they're going to find a way to wash their hands of the situation. They may cover that the roof damage, assuming it's something storm related. But you know, so it's a fine line that you walk, right? Between doing your due diligence to make sure that you're doing the necessary thing to make sure that your home stays dry and staying within
right.
the parameters that the insurance company set for you, and you know, and then taking that risk that says that, you know, like you mentioned earlier, if somebody were to file a claim and the claim gets denied, that could have some type of a negative ding on their
right on their premium.
Yeah, so there's actually, you know, what is it called? There's a most people don't know this, but there's actually a something to the equivalent of a permanent record on your insurance usage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the name is not, it's kind of eluding me here right now, but there's a specific report that
they can run and see if you're a habitual insurance claimer.
Exactly.
Wow. That makes sense, though.
Now, I will say that, in addition to that, that it is illegal for an insurance company to raise your rates or drop you based off of something that's deemed an act of God, meaning something outside of your control. So, insurance companies do a very good job trying to deter you from filing claims under the idea that you may have your premiums raised or even get dropped.
Right.
But that's one of those educational factors that we try to put into.
Yeah, absolutely. And knowing that stuff and talking to customers about that, that's a big advantage that you have, that you're doing for the customer.
I'd like to think so.
Absolutely. So projects, current things that you're doing right now in the community. I know that you said that one of the things you've got going on right now is they've developed some relationships with some apartment complexes.
We have. We're certainly working on a couple of larger projects for multifamily communities, and we've recently got ourselves in a position to potentially do some different things out of state.
Yeah.
Or some larger.
You're saying for Florida?
Properties. Yeah, Florida included.
Didn't you just get like a license or a renewed license? I don't know how that works there.
We did. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's extremely proud to get our license in Florida. Justin, my partner down there, has worked very, very tirelessly to try to make that happen for us, and has fortunately succeeded, and we've been able to obtain our own license down there. And just so folks who aren't aware, Florida is the hardest place in the country to get a license.
Yeah.
You know, for years and years, there's been contractors that have flooded the state after hurricanes that, you know, they come down and they leave folks high and dry, and
yeah,
they go out of business. And, you know, for any number of reasons, they have made it extremely tough to get a license down there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it makes sense, because they're trying to protect a consumer.
They are.
It makes sense that, you know, there would be people that would flood down there to do that fly-by-night operation and get out, you know, make some quick cash and go.
Yeah, 100%. And it doesn't just stop at the contracting side of things. I mean, most people don't even realize that there's a whole accounting side to that license screening process.
Yeah.
So not only are you having to prove your knowledge in roofing, but you're also having to prove your knowledge and mental wherewithal to prove that you understand how to operate and keep proper books.
Yeah. So, yeah, they want to make sure that you know what you're doing as a business owner.
Yeah, they want to make sure that you're not going to take people's deposits and, you know, go misuse
run
the
away,
funds.
Yeah.
And, yeah, put yourself out of business.
Man, that's, I mean, it's good that it's there, but it's just kind of crazy.
It makes things difficult. However,
makes a customer, makes it more valid for RoofSmart.
It does. And actually, most people don't even realize this, but, you know, there's no license that's required to do roofing in the state of Ohio. And it's something that needs to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, you know, I can complain about how difficult it was for us to get that license in Florida, but at the same time, that
it keeps away the riffraff.
Exactly. I know that the people that I'm competing
or
with.
Or would you like to call them the
Uncle Bucks in a
yes, that's right.
Or
Uncle Bucks aren't in Florida, baby.
That's right. Yeah, those people have at least had to have the mental capacity to at least complete those exams and get that license. So at least I know when I'm going up against another company there, it's not a chuck in a truck.
Right.
A truck. Yeah, it's a legit company. So
no, that's good.
Something that probably Ohio could probably learn from.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every state's a little different. So it's funny. I know that I don't like bringing politics into play, but I guess we can a little bit. It's not really politics, but my brother, he's a police officer, and he's a police officer in Centerville. And we were talking about different things that, how can we make the police force better? I mean, getting rid of the police is obviously not an option.
That's a ridiculous
idea. That makes no sense. But if you look at the rate of these officers, what happens is about year five, it's officers that's been on the force for 5+ years. Those are the ones that they're having issues with. And I think a lot of it comes down to burnout. it comes down to mental capacity. I mean, when you're dealing with some of these people and they're just taking away at you. I mean, I got customers too, and they take away. I always say, a good sale, they're taking a little bit of your soul. I mean, it's the truth. They really do.
It's probably a good way to say it.
So they get beat up, and then they kind of get desensitized, and they're just, you know, we start looking at situations differently. Mm-hmm. So I've always said, you know, I think a couple things can come into play to make it better for the states in this department, which is 5 years psych evaluation, see how things are going. Mm-hmm. If it's not going so well, then you pull them off the street, give them a desk job.
Yeah.
Or 1 year. Just get them to get a little reset. If they do something that's kind of crazy, then they have to go in front of a board, like a doctor or a lawyer. They have a board they have to go through, a mm-hmm. process, which they have a license. Because right now, police officers don't have a license.
Right.
So they have a license, they have to defend their license, and if they don't do good, they can get their license pulled. If they get their license pulled, they're done.
Right.
Now, they don't have that now. So what's happening is you get a cop that does something bad in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And then they'll go to Cincinnati. See, I'm just transferring. Cincinnati's like, we need cops. Come on in. You were a cop. They don't know. There's no, like, license, no record, no anything.
Yeah, yeah, I see your point.
So that's what's happening. And even if you are the only or the first state to do it, and let's just say you go to Indiana and Ohio's doing it, you know Indiana's going to pull the license records from Ohio.
Sure.
Even though they don't have one, their own.
Yeah.
You know they're doing that part of their background check.
Absolutely.
So I understand that every state can do it, but it's a start. And if you have that process, then I think you're going to get a lot better results for officers.
Well, first of all, I think you're definitely onto something there with as far as the police force goes, I think there's certainly some action that needs to be taken in that department.
Yeah.
I definitely think that translates into the contractor side of things as well, where it's
the checks and balance.
Yeah. And I don't know why we wouldn't have a process in place by now. As rampant as contractor fraud has been, I feel like you hear it all the time. You hear this so-and-so contractor got arrested because he took, you know, all these deposits and didn't do the work, or any number of horror stories that you hear from these different. I hear horror stories all the time from people that, you know, had these interactions with different contractors. And for myself, being the legit company that we are, I know that we wouldn't have any problem at all getting this license. So it's not going to hurt my business.
No, it's only going to help.
Exactly. And it's only going to hurt, Uncle Chuck.
Right.
You know, Uncle Buck, whatever you want to say. It's, and I think that's worth it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I know that the average homeowner is certainly going to be on board with that. And
of course,
and any reasonable contractor is also going to be on board with it. So that's certainly something that we've talked about with some of our competition in the area that we collaborate with every now and then. And, I think that the feeling's mutual across the board.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy you got your Florida license. Maybe something in the future for Ohio. That'll be good.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. You can do work here in Ohio, and you can do work in Florida, which we know a lot of folks have houses in both places. So
they do. Yeah. 75 does a really good job. Yeah. It's already connected.
So you're able to use the same company, RoofSmart, which is cool. Well, how do we get a hold of you, Greg? How does customers find out to get a hold of you and do a roof job? What would you say is the best form of contact?
Well, we've done our best to try to make ourselves as visible as possible. We're at 169 North Main Street in Uptown Centerville. We've got a you can find us on Facebook easy enough. All you have to do is search RoofSmart. We should pop up there for you. And then we obviously have our website as well, roofsmartpro.com. And of course, you can always reach us on the phone too.
All right, cool. Well, Greg, it's a pleasure having you tonight, or today, this evening, whatever you want to call it, this afternoon.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. It's, I've never done anything like this before, and I certainly wanted to take the opportunity to feel as Joe Rogan-ish as I could.
There you go. Well, here you are. Here's your moment to shine. Well, it was good talking to you, and thanks for sharing your business with us, and until next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Subscribe and follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at DaytonApproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.